724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Welcome, everyone. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, another gorgeous day. We're getting a little spoiled by this weather, you know. I mean, the first, all of spring and the first half of summer was lousy. It seemed like it rained every day. And boy, things changed at the end of August, and since then, it's just been beautiful. Yeah, we have another beautiful day today. And we have a good program for you, too. Now, a little bit later today, we're going to be talking about lists, making lists. Do you make lists? I make lists all the time. I got so many lists, I get home at the end of the day, I got a list in every pocket. Well, we'll be talking with Paula Rizzo a little bit later on the program about how to make good lists, and not just grocery lists either. She's not in Butler, but we'll be chatting with her on the telephone. Our first guests, however, are here in the studio with us, and we're going to be talking about a very special anniversary coming up. In fact, there's a big celebration coming up in just a couple of weeks for the anniversary of the founding of Butler Catholic School. And we have three guests here to talk about it, including the current principal at Butler Catholic, and that's Sister John Ann. Sister, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Dave.
When I brought you into the studio and we got everybody mic'd up, I said, I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, well, nice to have you back with us.
Thanks.
Also with us is Bruno Zuccola. Bruno, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here, Dave. Thank you very much.
Former teacher at Butler Catholic.
Former teacher and student at Butler Catholic.
Yeah. And Kathy Dudley, did you go to school there too?
I sure did, Dave.
Yeah. And you have kids there now, right?
I have two kids there, a sixth grader and a kindergartner. Mm-hmm. So it's all in the family.
And you're also doing work for the school right now.
I am. Director of Development, so I'm in charge of all things fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Director of Development.
It's a big title.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you again.
Thank you. Yeah, glad
nice
to be
to
here.
Have you here. Sister John Ann, I said a significant anniversary, and indeed it is. Which one is it?
It is the 50th anniversary of Butler Catholic School. We were founded in 1969, before the word reorganization, revitalization was ever around.
That's true. A lot of schools are, both public and private, are consolidating these days. But for the purposes of our discussion here in the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, it's been fairly recent when there have been a lot of actually directed consolidations.
Exactly.
That was not the case with Butler Catholic 50 years ago. Nobody from on high said you have to consolidate.
From everything that I have read, it was our founding pastors, Monsignor Glenn, Father Grindel, and Father Gentler. Garbin. The three of them that realized that unless they do something to bring the parishes together, there's not going to be Catholic education in Butler. Mm-hmm. They had a tremendous foresight and a beautiful vision of what Catholic education should be about. And so after many meetings within the community, within the parishes, it was decided that the St. Paul building, because of the structure significance of it, that building was chosen to house the main part, and St. Michael was close to it, so they used the little one for the little ones. St. Peter's building was very old, so they knew that it couldn't stay there. But it brought together the whole educational community of those three parishes.
I didn't live here then, so I had to read about this. But for folks who are not familiar with it, there were, in the city of Butler at that time, 50 years ago, there were three separate Catholic schools.
Right, within walking distance.
Yeah, it was St. Paul, St. Peter, and St. Michael.
Right.
Yeah. They all had buildings. They all had separate staffs and everything
right.
like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So these three pastors decided that for the future health and looking toward the future, a merger would be a good idea.
Exactly. And they worked together. And that was perhaps one of the strongest points of the merger. The three pastors worked together to make sure that it wasn't this parish school, but it was one school community. And their presence in the building at that time really help the children and the families to come together as a united school community. Mm-hmm. And that it's been interesting because at principals' meetings now, principals come up to me and say, "How'd you do it? How did it happen?" And those are the words that I say to them. Your pastors have to work together with everybody.
Well, there's a big celebration coming up. In fact, a lot of things we'll be talking about that. Bruno, were you around? Did you live here then whenever this merger took place?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Butler, and actually I went to school at St. Michael's Elementary School, and then in 1969 when the merger happened, then the students at St. Michael's and St. Peter's and St. Paul's was all merged together. So I was fortunate to be involved there as a student, and then when I graduated from college, Father DiNapoli, who was the pastor at St. Michael's at the time, needed a teacher, and I happened to be available. I was a December graduate, and I graduated on December 13th, and on December 15th, I was teaching at St. Michael's School. I was a third grade teacher, and I was there for about a little over 2 years, mm-hmm. and then I went to the public school, and then when I retired, now I'm back helping and assisting wherever I can, teaching class or helping with testing or volunteering for certain things. I try to do what I can to help the school.
You were an elementary teacher, so that meant, yes. I'm assuming that you taught a vast array of subjects.
I have. I've had every subject from K to 8. So it's been a very, very great journey as far as that goes. But I have to go back to my foundation at Butler Catholic. The Apostles of the Sacred Heart were one of the orders of sisters that taught at St. Michael's and then also went into the merger as well. And I just had some very influential teachers and principals at the time that kind of, formed me as being an educator and just, putting me in the right place. So I would have never been the educator that I was if it wasn't for the sisters and the teaching at Butler Catholic at the time.
And those, I've never heard of that order before. What was the order again?
Apostles of the Sacred Heart. They were at St. Michael's, the Mercies were at St. Paul's, and the Franciscans were at St. Peter's. So when the merger took place, the sisters kind of stayed, the St. Michael's sisters pretty much stayed at St. Michael's, but the St. Peter's sisters actually helped out at St. Paul's. And actually, Sister Mary Vincent was a first grade teacher, came over to St. Michael's and taught there as well. So they merged as well, the three orders of sisters. And then we had some lay teachers as well, but mostly was religious at the time when I was a student and an early teacher there.
Mm-hmm. Now, the building at St. Michael Parish, the school building is still there.
Right.
And used for other purposes.
It's mainly for faith development in the city parishes. Mm-hmm. On Saturday or Sunday, they have their religious ed classes there.
But the St. Peter's school building, that went to the wrecking ball, right? You said it was pretty old at the time of the merger.
Yes.
Yeah. Where was it?
I understand it was in where the parking lot is in the back.
Where it was.
It was. I remember when I was in high school, I did CCD at that building.
Yeah, we had CCD there when we were in ninth grade at the junior high. We used to walk to St. Peter's for CCD, actually.
It was behind the church?
It was called a release time. Yeah, it was right behind the church, actually, on the other side of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there, yeah.
We were pretty much invisible then from the street, unless you knew where it was.
It was definitely tucked back in.
Yeah, the Butler School District used it for a while whenever they needed space. Mm-hmm. And then we were also there on Wednesdays they used to give us release time, and we used to go for CCD on Wednesdays there at St. Peter's.
Yeah, that's right, because the Butler Area School District, up until the construction of the present senior high complex, the senior high school was downtown. Right near there, half a block away. Later became the junior high, and now it's the middle school. Yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kathy Dudley's Director of Development for Butler Catholic. You have been busy, busy, busy over the past few months planning celebratory events to mark this 50th anniversary. So what's cooking? What's on the agenda?
Well, we've got a great lineup of events, not only for this coming weekend in October, but throughout the year you'll see some things scattered in celebration of our 50th anniversary. We want to do things with and for the students and their families. But to kick it all off is our 50th anniversary celebration weekend, October 11th through the 13th, with a full weekend full of fun activities, as well as faith mass, a grand celebration dinner. We're going to invite everybody back and entertain them for the whole weekend and share lots of memories.
That's coming up pretty soon, folks, in case you're still dreaming, as I am, about summer, hanging on desperately. Today's the first day of autumn. 1 week from today, next Tuesday, it's October. So
it's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's like two weekends down the road. You got all this going.
It is. We've got lots of registrations coming in, and we're planning the final details. We're going to kick off on Friday afternoon with a food truck rally in our parking lot for all of our current families and friends and alumni to all come back and have a great dinner, and then proceeds from there with activities through the evening and on into Saturday and Sunday.
I wonder if they knew what food trucks were 50 years ago. Did they have food trucks back at the time? Yeah, they had them, I guess, right?
It's the ice cream man that used to come through.
That's
the good humor man.
The hot dogs. The hot dogs were always there, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I've got ice cream trucks, yeah. They always played a little tune when they were driving through the neighborhood. Yeah.
You mentioned about the food. One of the unique things that our committee wanted to sort of bring back for everybody coming was lunch in the cafeteria. Traditional favorites are going to be served on Saturday for an hour or so. We're inviting everybody to come back and get some grilled cheese and tomato soup.
I was going to say, traditional favorites has got to be grilled cheese.
Right. Absolutely. Right. We're bringing back the old recipes. We're making them like we did. We're serving you on the same type of cafeteria trays that you had back then, and you're going to eat just like the kids do.
Mm-hmm. The cafeteria at the school, though, Sister, has undergone renovation. And
yes.
In fact, let's talk about that for a minute. I have to take a break here for a couple of messages, but there has been, over the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, there's been significant renovation work at the school. So we'll talk about that in just a moment or so. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. It's the Tuesday, September 24th edition. We'll take a break, and we will be back with more right after these words.
Auto accidents can be a terrifying experience. Injuries can occur at an impact of just 2 to 3 miles per hour. If you've had an accident, it's time to visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center. Doctors Lucas and Detweiler specialize in treating accident-related injuries from whiplash, soft tissue pain, and headaches to shoulder and arm pain, reduced range of motion, and disc damage. Let the professionals at Applewood Chiropractic provide you with the necessary benefits to aid you in your healing process. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler. Visit applewoodchiro.com. In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866- 6-874-7483.
Our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. Folks, we were talking about how quickly it's going to be October, a week from today. They're making plans for holiday trips if you'd like to get out of town for a day or two or maybe longer. Lots of great holiday trip ideas from Butler Motor Tours. If you'd like to get down to North Carolina to the Biltmore, it's down in Asheville, North Carolina. It's up in the mountains. A breathtaking Biltmore Christmas trip shortly before Thanksgiving, featuring the Biltmore by candlelight. Or maybe a bundle of Christmas trip. This is November 29th through December 1st. It's a 3-day trip out to eastern Pennsylvania, Lancaster, PA, Pennsylvania Dutch country. You will participate in a dinner theater program at the Dutch Apple Theater, a musical production called Holiday Inn. And yes, it's based on the classic film with music and lyrics by Irving Berlin. There's much, much more. There's another theater trip to the American Music Theater for a holiday production of Joy to the World, and there are other things on that trip as well. And they'll be taking a couple of trips, one night trips down to Ogle Bay Park for the Holiday Festival of Lights. They'll be going down there mid to late November and again in early December. You can get details on these and other holiday trips from Butler Motor Tours online at their website, butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around here for more than 75 years. So think about it. Once again, online at butlerbus.com. Guests with us here in the studio right now, Bruno Zuccola, Sister John Ann, and Kathy Dudley. We're talking about upcoming anniversary plans as Butler Catholic School marks its 50th anniversary since the merger of three independent schools 50 years ago. Sister, you weren't here then, obviously. Nope. You weren't the principal then. Do you know who was the principal at that time?
I believe it was Sister Evangelista, Mercy Dallas, Dallas Mercy Sister. Mm-hmm. She was the first principal, and then she was succeeded by Sister Mary Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Sister Mary Joseph.
Who was a Franciscan from Millville. And then she was succeeded by, we think it was Sister Mary Grimmie, who was also
an apostle of the Sacred Heart.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it was Sister Nancy, who was currently at St. Michael's as a social worker. And then it was Dr. Rush, who was there. And then I came in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the whole chronology. And she did that without notes. It's pretty amazing.
That's because we talked about it right before, and that's why.
We mentioned, because I was asking about that order of nuns, which I was not familiar with, just as a kind of parenthetical thought here, different orders of nuns, of sisters, have different specialties. Some are teachers, some are nurses, work in hospitals, and so on and so forth. So all of these sisters that you mentioned would be teaching nuns.
Basically, that's what they are. But today, religious orders are doing a myriad of different works. Many of them are involved in social work, higher education, hospital work, just working with the indigent and the poor. And some are in colleges doing everything there, too. So it's it's a little different than what it was in the 50s.
Well, so is the school, by the way.
Yes.
Because there's been major renovation work there. Mm-hmm. I mentioned before the break, within the past 3 years or so, actually, Sister corrected me politely during the break. It's longer than that.
Yes.
When did this major renovation get underway?
I want to say the major renovation started in the summer of 2013-14 school year, somewhere in there. It started with the replacing of the front side of the windows because we were getting rain in the building constantly. So over the next two summers, all the windows in the entire plant were replaced. And that also meant replacing the roof. So we did the roof on the convent and the roof on the main part of the building. Coming up in a couple years, it's going to be the Fatima Wing Auditorium and Gym, all online. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we moved into cafeteria renovation because literally the freezer was held together with duct tape and a prayer. But now we have a beautiful walk-in cooler freezer. And then we had classroom floors where the tile was beginning to pop up. And so we had to replace the tile. And of course, during that time when the building was built, the tile all had asbestos in it.
Oh, yeah.
So we had the entire first floor of classrooms, was including the library, was replaced.
And you have to do that under federal regulations these days. You and can't then, just bring in a wrecking crew. You have all kind of special precautions.
And then we moved on to the gym area because as soon as you walked into the building, you knew there was a boys' bathroom down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant during remodeling down there, and of course, that had tile, and it was the same process up again.
Wow.
So we did major work down there, and then the summer, following summer, we continued doing the work in the gym because our bleachers were the original in 1961, and you pulled them out and put them back and hoped they lasted. And so our parents were wonderful. Volunteers were great. They assisted the company that pulled them out and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them were torn out. We had one of our dads who was in construction and one who was an architect. They designed, they built. Our dads and parents came in and just helped put the finishing touches on. And, of course, doing that, we also did the lavatories, changed classrooms that were being used as a locker room. And when you give kids a big classroom for a locker room, it can be leading up to chaos. So we divided those. So the gym area was taken care of, which meant, of course, when you start with just doing the bleachers, you have to take care of the walls. So the building was repainted. And as you looked at the repainting, you saw, lights there. So we had to do the lights, too. And we had the windows replaced, which were supposed to have been tinted. But you still needed sunglasses if you were in the gym on a Saturday afternoon. So we had those fixed. So the downstairs was almost finished. We haven't replaced the floor yet. That's somewhere down the line. Over within the next 2 weeks, in time for the celebration, the PA system in the gym is going to be taken care of. But when you take a look at while that was all going on, we also moved to the inside of the building because all our restrooms were the originals.
Wow.
From 1941, 42, when the building was built. Still the originals. So they had to be replaced just to bring them up to code. So when the children saw it, one of the girls came running to me and she said, "Sister, the bathrooms, they just look like they do on HGTV. It's so neat." And so that was the thing. And they are. We had to do it, but we didn't want to do it cheaply, nor did we want to go overboard. We did it that it looks good, but it is well done. And so that's a big part to it.
Have you had, obviously, with these significant renovations, have you had an ongoing capital campaign to try to raise money to do all this work?
Yes, we did. But
I suppose Kathy would be able to speak to that, the director
of
development.
As all things alumni and sort of financial related. So interestingly enough, at the same time these renovations were starting and going on, we also started to run an annual fund appeal. So that has gone on every year for the past 6 years or so.
More than that. I'm going to say even before.
As we started to get the funds built
up. I'm going to say around 2010 is when we started the development
office. And that was before I came back to work here. But the gal that was in my position before me laid a great groundwork to where we really have been able to reach out to our alumni, to our families, to our community supporters, and invited them all back to contribute financially, but also to contribute their prayers, to contribute their talents. And we look for that to continue going forward as we have additional renovations that need to be done. We need to make sure our building is ready for the next 50 years of Catholic education in Butler.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of these renovations would be necessary for aesthetic reasons. Okay. In some cases, floors would be wearing out. In the case of windows, the original windows, they didn't have windows back then like they do today, and the newer windows are very energy efficient,
right.
So
mm-hmm.
You'll be amortizing some of that cost by right. saving on heating
exactly.
bills.
Exactly, you know? Right.
We did the same thing with lighting this summer. We replaced all of our lighting with LEDs and have already started to see a significant drop in our electrical expenditures, which is a nice side benefit of that.
Now, most of what you detailed there, Sister, is interior work. So you'd have to go inside the building to get a peek. But from what I've seen driving past over the past years, so there's been a heck of a lot of work going on outside, too. There's new sidewalks this
yes.
summer.
Well, it was interesting because we were evaluated by the diocese, and we had to do our sidewalks. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that we planned to do right now. But one of those things where God says you need to get it done, so you have to do it.
And this is not just a sidewalk. Leading up to the front steps,
it's
half a block you had to do sidewalks all around.
From the top of East Locust Street down to the corner of Monroe Locust, all the way over from Monroe to St. Paul Street, and a section in the back of St. Paul Street. So it's
a lot of sidewalk.
That's for sure. But it was interesting because we had a great contracting crew that worked very well together because we were still pointing the exterior of the building because the building needed it, mm-hmm. and they all just worked together. Then we had the landscaping. It was such a wonderful work area. The companies were wonderful. The men working there got along, and it just made it a good working atmosphere all the way around. No matter if the guys working on the sidewalk needed help, then the crew that was working on the building helped them. And it just worked that way, and it was... They got a lot done, and our maintenance crew could continue cleaning the building. Mm-hmm. And so that was very helpful.
Kathy Bruno said he has fond memories of his days in elementary school at First St. Michael, right?
Yes,
and then Butler Catholic. What about you? Can you remember elementary days at Butler Catholic School?
You know, there are days that I remember a lot, and there are other days that I'm like, wow, I don't remember that little bit happening at all. But of course, you know, I've got great friends from back there that we still keep in touch.
It's because you missed having me. We kind of missed each other, right?
I know. Bruno and I were talking about right. this, and like I was in third grade when he taught second, and then I was in second when he taught third, so we missed each other
missed
in
each
class,
other, yeah.
which is unfortunate. But I had wonderful teachers, and you know, the times back then were obviously different. Teaching strategies were different. And it's nice to see the sort of the evolution of how that has come around now that my kids are at school there. To see, I think that it's a very warm atmosphere that the kids can really thrive in. We did back then, and they still are today, which is great. And it's nice to have someone like Sister John Nan, who just has really great vision for the school, and not only being content with where we are now, but where we want to be going in the future, in the next couple of years and down the road. So we've got a lot more plans in the works for some things coming up.
So how do you continue the warm educational atmosphere that Kathy was talking about? First of all, the student-teacher ratio is
wonderful.
Amazing, right?
Yes, it is. It's 15 kids to one teacher, basically. Mm. And sometimes even those groups, particularly our reading and math groups, are smaller so that we can really help the children to use the talents and challenge them, both those who move forward and those who need that extra time to work on it. And that's what we try to foster in our children. Always, I guess, the way I look at it, all of us are called by our baptism to be strong reflections of Christ. And so what I try to do with the children and the staff, we are all called to be respectful, responsible reflections of Christ's love. That's the mantra that comes through our school. And we try to really try to help our kids to grow in that and to keep that warm atmosphere. Sometimes it's good. Our nickname is Saints, but I always add in the making because there are times when you just wonder at times, you know, can it be?
You know, it's amazing to be back there and see some of the great work that Sister and her staff does. But it's a very unique atmosphere. It's a very family atmosphere. I mean, I grew up in a big Italian family, so I get it. But they have an Olympic game day every year, you know. And coming from the public school, the philosophy was a little different, that's for sure. But it's at Butler Catholic, though, it amazes me how the older children, the eighth graders, the seventh graders, look out for the kindergarten students. And the kindergarten students are what, you know, the fourth grade students look out for the first grade. Because in their groups, they're first through eighth. They're divided a couple of each in each grade. And it's just amazing that how nurturing and caring and example setting that the older students do. And that's a credit to Sister and her staff because they really, really make that very evident as the days progress through the year and through the years. You know, I think it's just amazing to see that. The competitiveness is, you know, it's all in good fun. It's all in, you know, everybody being successful, that kind of thing. But I think that family atmosphere is something that's very, very unique to Butler Catholic.
Talking about the 50th anniversary celebration of Butler Catholic School with all sorts of activities happening over the next few weeks. Take a break. Back to talk more with our guests here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR, right after these words.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Preparation for fall has already started, and Osterling's Lawn and Garden has all the tools and items you'll need to keep checking the boxes off your to-do lists. They have pruning tools, rakes, bulb planters, and fall planting onions. Even fall flower bulbs will be arriving this month. They'll have tulips, irises, crocus, and more. Make sure to grab heavy trash bags for all your leaves and yard waste. It's also canning time at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. There are plenty of cabbage cutters, apple pickers, and canning salt. Get prepared for fall with Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Welcome back, friends. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of Butler Catholic School following a merger of three independent schools 50 years ago, as a matter of fact. None of us were around then, or at least not adults, when that happened. I suppose it went pretty smoothly, right? I mean, because it would have been a big job, changing bus pickups, kids meeting new teachers, and all that sort of thing.
There was a lot of preparation, from what I understand, a lot of preparation given into it and a lot of thought that people were, I guess the term transparency wasn't used back then, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of transparency that took place during that time of this merger so that they wanted it to work and they worked to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. It must be nice, both Bruno and Kathy attended Butler Catholic, to be able to go back and walk the halls again. Something I can't identify with. My elementary school was torn down. The junior high that I went to burned down, and the high school that I went to burned down.
Dave, you have a terrible track record.
I don't know. If there was one other fire, they might have come investigating. I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
But it must be a nice feeling to, walk the halls again, peek into the classroom or something
that. It's very exciting. And for me, the biggest joy is that now I have the students that I had my first couple years, I have their children. Mm. And that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you can walk in and see the different families just by looking at them and go, oh, you're one of the, you have that. They have the features of the parent, or usually they have the last name. So of course, are you related to so and so? Do you know so and so? So the biggest joy for me is to have those children that I had in school, having their own kids today.
Well, there'll be a lot of those conversations, Kathy Dudley, at the anniversary celebrations, I think.
I hope so. One of the things we were asking folks when we were trying to figure out, what exactly do we want this 50th anniversary weekend to look like? What activities do we want to provide? What opportunities do we want to make available for everyone? And by and large, mostly what people wanted to do was come back, see the school, sit in the classrooms that they sat in before, take that tour, go see the gym, visit with their friends. So that is really how we modeled the weekend. We have specific tours of the school at certain times. We have rosary recitation in the chapel, which coincidentally the chapel is pretty much the same mm-hmm. as it was from the original. We have not touched that yet in terms of renovations. So everyone, I hope, will come and feel very, very at home at school. In addition to that, we're going to highlight some of the new things that we do have going on that weren't available back then. We've got a great maker space and robotics room now. We have computer labs.
They probably didn't have robotics back
they
in
did not.
No, I don't think so. 50 years ago.
Exactly. So we've really been able to maintain this traditional Catholic education, but also really being very innovative and leading the way in terms of technology use within our classrooms on its own, as well as used for reading and math and for all of the subjects that we used to just use pencil and paper for. We're using those tools every day, and we want our visitors to come back and sort of see and experience all of that and take it with them.
We still use pencil and paper. We still have blackboards.
We do.
Yes. Still
we do.
Blackboards.
Well, yeah. Kind of.
No?
Kind of.
What, Bruno?
They're whiteboards or they are...
The green boards.
The green boards.
Which, interestingly enough, I was just going through some archives the other day and came across the original plan for the St. Paul building. That's the original part of our school building. And there was a drawing of that, but there were also very detailed notes about the layout of the school, the use for each of the rooms. And in those notes, they talked about having the most up-to-date, amenities available to a school, and that included modern green chalkboards. Mm-hmm. And those, a lot of the rooms still have them green. Some of them we've painted black. Since then, the green has started to wear off, and we've had to repaint. But you'll see a lot of those green boards still in the classrooms today.
Mm-hmm. And whiteboards.
Right, the smart boards.
And smart boards
Smart
now.
Boards also.
Smart that, boards. What's a smart board?
It's a tool, like back in my early days of teaching, it was either an overhead projector or a film strip projector or a movie projector. Now, you can connect it to your computer and go on YouTube and pull the films or the lessons or the things that will assist the teacher in presenting a lesson. And blow it up to be,
And the blackboard lights up to show you this stuff?
Yeah, very much so.
So it's fully touchscreen enabled. Yeah. The teachers, it's very interactive between the students and the teachers. It's a really wonderful tool.
Yeah, the cool thing is you don't go up with your piece of chalk and do your math problems. You go up and touch it or grab the colored the pens and, you draw the line with your finger. It's very, very active learning for the students.
But the bad part is you don't get to, compete with your friends over who got to go out and clap the chalk erasers together at the end of the day.
That's right.
I forgot about that, Kathy.
And they also have Chromebooks that they use as well. Yes. The students use Chromebooks for certain assignments and things like that to keep track of their homework. And
it's like a laptop.
An iPad.
Yeah, our 6th, 7th, and 8th grade all have them individually.
Oh, really?
Yes. They over a three-year period, the parents can purchase them. Some do write out and some rent them. Mm-hmm. But they have their own Chromebook that they take to each class. They do their work on it. And they can also, in homework, if they don't understand something, they can contact the teacher. And it is a good educational tool that is used to help them enhance what it is that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I can remember they were doing talking about the Diary of Anne Frank, and they got on to the YouTube, the actual pictures and dynamics. The kids didn't hear the bell for change of class. They were so into what they were seeing that book came alive to them. And they just... We didn't hear it. We didn't hear the bell. This was so interesting. So it's giving another dimension to what the teacher is doing in the classroom.
Butler Catholic grade range is what? You go up to eighth grade?
Eighth grade, from three-year-old program to eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there tuition assistance or scholarships that are available to send students to Butler Catholic School?
Yes. Of course, there's the basic tuition, and anybody who needs it applies for assistance. We do not identify who it is. There's a company that does that. So it really is based on need. And however, we do have funds. If someone comes and talks, we can make arrangements for that. But there is assistance.
Do you have to be a Catholic to attend or send your child to Butler County School?
No. We welcome all students regardless of faith. However, they still are responsible for the information about the Catholic religion. And I tell the parents this when we meet for our interview, all we want to do is to help them build their relationship with Jesus, whoever he is to them. And they want them there because of the structure, the accountability, the pushing, and the helping that they can get.
What about dress? Do kids wear uniforms at Butler College School?
We have a dress code, uniform code. Sometimes it's stretched a little, but we work with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are those kids, that try. Not that we ever did that or anything,
Well, I think students certainly want to express their individuality, but it helps the learning atmosphere, I have found, to have the kids not concerned about what color of skirt they're wearing or are they wearing the right brand of jeans or anything along those lines. So they have a variety of things they can choose from that fits within the uniform code. But one of the best parts is that the students are still allowed to wear pretty much whatever shoes they want as long as it's safety and following within some guidelines. So we have some little kids that are wearing light-up shoes to school, and certainly the older kids have certain brands that they like. But it's just enough to give them their individuality without overtaking their whole day.
Well, they didn't have robotics 50 years ago, and I'm pretty darn sure they didn't have light-up sneakers either.
No, they didn't, that's for sure.
Back in those days.
We had our Converse basketball shoes. That was about it, right?
That's right. Your Chuck Taylor All-Stars. You were a basketball player, bro.
No.
Oh, you weren't.
Not me.
And Chuck Taylors are just as popular today, I will say.
Yeah. But they were all black and white, today.
That's true, too. Yeah. How things change over a 50-year period, huh? Kathy Dudley, have I missed anything? Review what's happening here this coming celebration weekend.
Sure. So let me give you a real brief overview. So Friday night, I mentioned we're having food trucks in the parking lot. We're inviting everybody to come out and grab some dinner there. Afterward, we're going to feature a family movie night that night in the school gymnasium. Bring your kids. And we're going to be showing Secret Life of Pets 2. So it's a great family-friendly movie. On Saturday, we have lots of things going on, starting with basketball in the school gym through the morning. It's just an ongoing pickup game, so a great chance to come and have some fun and play some hoops in the school gym.
In the Harry Leyland gym.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And so at the same time, throughout the morning, we're going to be giving tours of the school. We're going to be having rosary recitations in the chapel. We're going to be having demos of our makerspace and robotics program. One of the most popular things, I think, will be our memory lane, where we have lots of scrapbooks and photo albums and memorabilia that we have collected over the past 50 years that's going to be on display for everyone to look through. We're going to be giving a tour of our school garden. I was here a couple weeks ago talking about the school garden and the garden club after school. So we're going to tour that a little bit. We're going to be making a collaborative art project that's going to be housed permanently in the auditorium after the weekend is over. The highlight of Saturday, really, though, is going to be Mass in our auditorium. It's going to be celebrated by Father Kevin Fazio and joined by alumni that have gone on to become priests themselves. They are coming back to help celebrate Mass, and also pastors that were here in Butler that have moved on to other locations are coming back to join with us as well. So we're going to have a lot of great memories and celebration going on at Mass, and that will be followed by our grand celebration dinner in the gymnasium that evening afterwards.
Final word, is there still time for procrastinators to make a reservation?
There
for
is.
Any
we
of
know
stuff?
How everybody, we know how everybody works. Definitely. So registration is available online. It's just butlercatholic.org/50th. The information, the schedule, the registration form, everything is available there.
I bet you couldn't register online either 50 years ago.
No,
and you don't have to today. I must say, you're welcome to call the school. We have registration forms there as well.
Thank you all for being here. It's a wonderful anniversary, 50th anniversary coming up. It would be the golden anniversary, I guess, right?
It is.
50th anniversary. Yeah. The current principal of Butler Catholic School, Sister John Ann, visiting with us. The director of development at the school, Kathy Dudley. And a former student and teacher, Bruno Zuccolo, all with us here in the studio today. Great to have you, folks.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Sure. Thank you.
Stick around. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking about making the right kinds of lists on the next segment of the program. We'll be chatting by telephone with Paula Rizzo. So stick around. More to come here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Back in a few minutes.
It's football season, and you need to get your game on at Sir Speedy Printing Center. That's right. You'll score big when you brand your business with custom-printed banners for events, direct mail pieces, or travel mugs, pens or cap sticks for clients. Need to order forms, envelopes, or brochures? Free quotes available at Sir Speedy. They can also do bulk mailing, so you don't have to. Are you working on the school or church fall fundraiser? Get a quote for raffle tickets at Sir Speedy Printing Center on South Main Street in Butler. And then you'll feel like you scored big time with the quality and service they provide.
The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local, and there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. not affiliated with any other funeral home. Welcome, folks. I'm Dave Malarkey, and on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, we're going to be finding out about the right way to make lists. Our guest visits with us by telephone. She is Paula Rizzo, author of Listful Living, A List-Making Journey to a Less Stressed You. Paula, I've been looking forward to chatting with you. Thanks for being with us here for a few minutes today.
I'm so excited to talk list-making.
Well, list making, anybody can make a list. I mean, it's not that hard, but you're emphasizing you want to make the right kind of list. I mean, it's not just like a grocery list or a list of tasks. You got to know what you're doing, I guess, huh?
Yes, it's helpful to write that stuff down, but oftentimes people become too stressed out by their list, or they feel bad about it because they don't get to the end of it, or they're not able to cross everything off. But you really have to evaluate what deserves to be on that list. What do you have the time and resources to actually do that day? And that should dictate what's on the list.
Speaking of time, and I didn't know this until I saw your book, 1,000 to 440 minutes. That's how many minutes there are in a day. And you want to make sure that you're using those precious minutes in the most productive way, huh?
Yes, and it's an eternity. I mean, you know, as a radio host, you think in minutes. My background is as a television producer, so I'm very conditioned to know how long a minute is, how long 30 seconds is. Most people don't think that way, and so they think, oh, you know, there's not enough time in the day. There actually is. It's just that you're not really giving yourself a chance to do things within the constraints of the day. So being able to time yourself, know how long tasks actually take, and then say, okay, I know I can do that task in 7 minutes, 8 minutes. Let me put this here before lunch or after lunch. And so you could really stack your day so you can get more done.
I'm chuckling because I do. When I'm at work, at least, I live my life that way. You know, I glance at the big clock on the wall and say, I have 30 seconds. Do I have to take the time to take a drink of coffee before I have to speak again? And yet you get used to that. Although I must admit, Paula, I kind of turn off that clock at the end of the workday. I get a little sloppy, you know, later in the day when I'm at home.
Same. Exactly the same thing happened to me, because you don't want to do what you do at work at home, right? You want to relax. You want to be easy breezy. But what was happening to me was I realized I wasn't very efficient at home. I was forgetting things. I wasn't doing appointments like I should have been and all of that. And I thought, you know, if I could just apply a little bit of what I've learned as a television producer through the years to kind of sprinkle that throughout my day and be more efficient, it would be helpful. And it worked. It's been really, really helpful for me.
One of the things that you write about in Listful Living, I have to be careful how I pronounce the title of your book, because it's a little bit of a tongue twister for me. One of the things that you write about in Listful Living, A List-Making Journey to a Less Stressed You, is, you say the secret is not so much what you put on your list, but what you leave off. That's kind of a fascinating thought.
Yes. We're in this time of busyness, and busy is a badge of honor. And if you say you're busy, that means, you know, you're important. And so people look at their list and they think, oh, look at all the things I have to do. It feeds your ego almost in a way. But sometimes if you look back and say, hey, do I actually need to be doing these things? Does this have to be done by me? Do I have to do it at all? And the way that I sort of learned all of this was because right after my first book, Listful Thinking, came out, about a year later, my appendix burst, which is a very dramatic way for your body to tell you need to slow down. And everything had to come off my to-do list, literally every single thing, you know? And so as I was recovering and getting better, I was really intentional about what I would allow back on, because I needed time to rest and recuperate and, you know, heal. And so I was really, really tuned in to, why am I putting this on my list? Why am I going to this networking event? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? What's my intention here? If you look at it sort of like that, it's more helpful to it really has to earn its place on that list.
You also talk in your book, Paula, about being able to tap into your own productivity style. And I know for me, because I start very, very early in the morning, I finish my work day in the early afternoon. And I find that on a weekend, or even when I'm you know, taking some time off or vacation or whatever. That's my productive time. And other people in my family look at me and they say, you're an idiot. What are you getting up and starting to work at 5 o'clock in the morning? I know that that's when I'm good. And when I hit 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not good. I'm not very productive then.
Right. Well, it's been conditioned in you, right? You almost have no choice doing morning radio. But still, it's great to tap in to know, how do I work best? And when I started working for myself, so now I'm a media trainer and coach, as well as an author, obviously. And when I started working for myself, I was like, I need to make sure that I set boundaries for myself and I'm not working all the time. And I really tap into, when do I want to write? When do I want to talk to people? When do I want to, you know, all the different tasks I have to do for my business. When do I want to do that according to when I feel most jazzed about it, you know, because that'll make you actually do it. So for me, I'm not a morning person. I like to have a slow morning. I like to read the newspaper, drink my tea, kind of get started for the day, check a couple emails, do some, you know, stuff that doesn't take any heavy lifting thinking. And then I get started really around like 11:30. That's for me, I start to get in gear then. But I know that about myself, so I stack my day that way.
We're talking with Paula Rizzo. She's being a little bit modest when she talks about being a producer for TV. She is an Emmy Award-winning television producer for nearly 20 years. She has produced health and wellness and lifestyle segments with a range of top experts, including people like Jillian Michaels. Everybody's heard of her. Deepak Chopra and others. And Paula, you were a senior health producer for the Fox News Channel in New York City for quite a while, weren't you?
That's correct. Yeah, over a decade. I produced all their health and wellness content over there. It was great. But as a journalist, you know, I covered stress a lot. And I got to see, what does it do to people, body, mind, and soul? And list making is a good way to help you reduce that stress.
You also talk in your book, Listful Living, about being able to modify your list, to change it once in a while, to make sure that it is best serving the particular lifestyle that you want to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You want to really make sure that you're looking at, where are you in your life right now? So the book is set up in three parts. The first part is the journalist part, I like to call it, because you're just looking to see, where are you with your productivity and with your stress levels? How do you feel? When are you doing work? Then the second part is very much about, where would you like to go? So what would you like your life to be like? You know, do you want to not take calls until 11:30? Or what does that look like for you? And then the last part is really practical, because it helps you to sort of put it together and say, okay, how can I actually make this happen?
And you need to prioritize how you expend. You only have so much energy. I can remember when I was a kid, Paula, and this is a long time ago, my first job was cutting lawns, okay, around the neighborhood. And I, this might sound crazy, but I would actually get a great sense of satisfaction when I finished the lawn. You know, I could shut down the mower. I could look around and say, look at this. I accomplished this task. It felt pretty good. So what you're saying in your book is, if you try to put too many things on your list and you don't get done, you're not going to have that feeling of satisfaction. Your stress level is going to go off the charts.
Yeah, and you just, you know, you want to be able to accomplish the right things. So as you mentioned, prioritizing. Not everything is a priority. Just because it's on the list for today or somebody else wants you to do it, do you really need to do it? Does it really have to happen today? Or could you put it off till tomorrow and then you don't have to stick it on your list and have it be looking at you like, oh, I didn't do that thing? And, you know, a lot of times people often write, you know, things that are unattainable on their list. Like they'll write book. There's no way you're going to write a book today. That's just impossible. So what is the tiny little piece of that you could do? That should go on the list.
You also talk in your book about creating a roadmap to be less stressed. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, Paula?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do look at my list as a roadmap, because I make my list every night before I leave my desk for the next day. So I run through every single thing that has to happen the following day, and I write it out. And I also do prioritize it by before lunch and after lunch tasks. People find that to be really helpful, because that also taps into your productivity style. How do you feel before you eat lunch, right? Are you a little bit more energetic? What kind of tasks do you like to do better? So I find that that's really helpful to have the roadmap, because then when I sit down the next morning, I say, okay, what's my intention for the day? What's my rundown? You know, it really is sort of like, producing your life, where you can look to see, okay, what am I supposed to be doing today? And then if you get derailed, you always know you have this to go back to and can kind of, you know, keep you on track.
By the way, I looked up your book and your name online and Googled it, and I got one English translation, and I got one that was in German. So some of your books must have been translated into other languages. Did you know that?
Yeah, the first book, Listful Thinking, has been translated into, 12 or 15 languages. That one came out about 4 years ago, so it's been pretty successful in other parts of the world. In Asia, I get emails all the time from people in China and Japan who are really excited about list making and how to do it better.
By the way, if you make a proper list, it can actually make you feel calmer, can it not? You recognize, identify what you want done, and then when you accomplish it, you accomplish it, you feel pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just to be able to cross that off the list and have that sense of accomplishment. Sometimes I write things on the list that I did but wasn't there originally just so I could cross it off because it feels so good.
Do you make lists all the time, Paula?
I do. I make all kinds of lists. It's not just to-do lists. You know, it's places I want to go, restaurants I want to go to, books I want to read. If I have an disagreement with somebody, it's like feelings that I feel, you know, a list of feelings, those kinds of things. I think more clearly in bullet points than I do, you know, writing long form. Although the book has a little bit of both. So there's some of those short list making spurts, and then there's also some activities where you can write some longer form things.
I've done some short ones. Sometimes I write a list so fast that I look at it later and I can't read what I wrote because I was scribbling it down.
You're too efficient for yourself.
I need to slow down a little bit. As you said, what you really want to do is to take a few minutes and perhaps be a little bit more abstract, not so much like a grocery list, but, try to identify what's really important, you know, where you want to expend your precious energy. You don't have that much of it.
Mm. Yeah, and you don't have to do all of it. You don't have to say yes to everything. That's what I've learned. You know, when my first book came out, I said yes to everything because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And I was working full-time at the time as a producer. And so I was working, you know, all day. And then at night, I was doing all of this hustle for this book, and it was too much. So now I'm like, hey, this is actually a long game. You know, having a book lasts for your entire life. So, yes, it's important to get the word out in the beginning when it first launches, but I'm being a little kinder to myself this time.
You do a lot of speaking, keynote speaker. Do you bump into people? What do I want to say? Do most people make lists? I mean, that's
Yeah, there's a lot of list makers out there. You know, it's funny, if I do a talk about, you know, media or how to pitch the media or how to be better on camera or stuff like that, when I mention that I'm the author of these books, that's what people want to talk about. You know, they're interested in the media stuff and how to get out there and all that, but they're like, oh my gosh, my list. And they think that it's a thing that really brings us all together because many people do it or they're recovering. Like they did do it before and then they stopped making them, so they need better solutions to get back to it and that kind of stuff.
Reduce your stress, feel better about yourself by making the right kind of lists. And you can read all about it in Listful Living, a list-making journey to a less stressed you. And if you're thinking, oh boy, this is another self-help book, listen, this one made Oprah.com's list of self-help books that actually help. And I'm sure you were pleased to see that, Paula.
I was, yes, that was for Listful Thinking, my first book, and I was like, yes, that's so exciting, so I'm hoping to get some similar accolades for this book as well, but the earlier reviews are in, there's a lot of people on Amazon commenting on it, and people are really using this to just evaluate their life and see how they can do it better.
If you're looking for Paula Rizzo online, it's R-I-Z-Z-O. Hey, Paula, nice to talk with you today. Now I have to say goodbye because I got to go make another list.
I gotcha. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This is fun.
Okay. So long now.
Bye-bye.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Do you love home cooking? Me too. And that's what Michael's Restaurant specializes in. From homemade soups to daily lunch and dinner specials and the legendary desserts. Every Friday night, Michael's features prime rib and crab legs for you to enjoy. Hungry for Italian food? Try Michael's Diablo pasta or seafood scampi. Michael's Restaurant, Newcastle Road.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.